that. We have some coffee and some tea and some desserts. It is decaf coffee as well, so that's good news. And so I hope that you'll stay. You know, it's not about the desserts. It's about the fellowship, and I hope that you'll stay in fellowship with each other here tonight. What a wonderful blessing for Emily to be baptized this morning. We praise the Lord for that and her step of obedience. And you make sure to talk to her tonight and to let her know you're praying for her. Psalm 23 in our Bibles together, Psalm 23. I preached a sermon series on this several years ago, Psalm 23, and it really opened my eyes to this wonderful, wonderful passage of Scripture. And I recently heard it retaught at Brother Steve's dad's memorial service, and it was a blessing. And I said I want to look at Psalm 23 again. And with Celebration Sunday and, you know, celebrating God's faithfulness, I thought, you know, He is our faithful shepherd, and this is a wonderful opportunity to look at that. We're going to read together Psalm 23. I'll begin verse number 1, you read verse 2, and we'll do that right through to the 6th verse together of Psalm 23. And I don't know if the sound guy is able or capable of putting it up there for you. If you don't have a Bible, maybe that is possible. But let's begin. Psalm 23 and verse number 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful psalm, and we are just going to focus on verse 1 tonight. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful blessings to us each and every day. We're grateful for your faithfulness. We're grateful, Lord, that we can trust in you. And even, Lord, in the good times and the bad times, we know that you are our faithful shepherd. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us as we study your word together. I pray that you would give us understanding and direction. And, Lord, I pray that through your word that we would be helped tonight. I pray that you'd be glorified. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. This in itself is a personal possession that David is speaking about. The Lord, think about this, is my shepherd. Now, some have suggested that David wrote this, Psalm 23, as an old man. And he was looking back, he was approaching the end of life's journey, and he was looking back at the trials and the troubles and the difficulties that he faced throughout his life and recalling God's shepherding in his life each and every day, maybe considering all that God had accomplished in his life. And it does feel like it's David pouring out these thoughts, these truths, from the hard lessons of life, that he felt the discipline of God in his life, he felt the devotion of the shepherd in his life. Others have suggested that David wrote this psalm as a young man, as a youth, out in the Judean hills with his father's flock surrounding him, with his harp in his hand and this wonderful thought in his mind, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, Psalm 23 is divided into three parts. At the end of the day, it's a psalm or a song about trusting God. And that's really what it is. We think of the psalms, we're looking at songs. It's trusting God to care in the frailty of life, and the fact that God will take care of our foes, and trusting God with our future. This is what David is writing in Psalm 23, that God is going to shepherd us. A Christian man, after his mother had passed away, walked into her bedroom, and there he found an open Bible. And the Bible was open to Psalm 23, and through the pages, the tattered pages, and this Bible that was discolored from use. You know, they say that a Bible that is well used, a Bible that is falling apart, shows a life that's not falling apart, as long as you use your Bible and not misuse your Bible. And this man looked through this Bible, and the pages were tattered, and he noticed an outline that was scribbled in the margin of that Bible in Psalm 23. And along the side of the psalm, she had written these words: "The secret to a happy life, a happy death, and a happy eternity." I think that's a great way to describe Psalm 23. It is the fact that David is looking at his life and he's understanding that he needs God, that God would be the one that would shepherd him, God would be the one that would guide him, God would be the one that would direct him. Now, I want us to think about this psalm here, and specifically the first verse, and I want us to think about the shepherd, the faithful shepherd. And can we notice, first of all, tonight, he is a powerful shepherd. He is a powerful shepherd. David was a good shepherd. David cared for his flock. He did all that was needed to protect his father's sheep. We read about this in the life of David. But David realized in that moment, as he penned Psalm 23, he realizes in this moment that he had a shepherd that was watching over him. Now think about this as David thinks of the contrast of his shepherding ability compared to God's shepherding ability. He realized that God was far greater and far wiser than him. He is indeed the good shepherd. Someone has written this: the life of a good shepherd was not an easy life. Beside the difficult task of keeping watch over many, many sheep, the shepherd was also responsible for finding proper water and nourishment for the sheep that by nature were afraid of nearly everything. Then there was the issue of disease and exposure to the elements, robbers to contend with, wild animals who would devour the sheep if given the opportunity. There was even the issue of dealing with hirelings who, when danger presented itself, simply ran away to preserve their own life rather than the sheep. To them, it was only a job. But to David, it was more than a job. David saw this idea of shepherding as watching his father's sheep, but also more than that, a God-given responsibility. This is what God had set him to do, and he truly invested in being the best shepherd that he could. David understood that there was a greater shepherd watching over his life, and it was the Lord, and the Lord is truly the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. We talked about this in our John study, the I Am declarations of Jesus in John 10:11. The Bible says, "I am," Jesus speaking, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And John 10:14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." The writer of Hebrews describes the Lord as the great shepherd. Can we turn there? Hebrews chapter 13 in our Bibles. Hebrews and the 13th chapter. And notice what the Bible says here. Hebrews 13 verse 20. The Bible says he's the good shepherd. Notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13. The Bible says in verse 20, the Bible says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus," notice this expression, "the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." And so not only is he a good shepherd, the Bible also says that Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Now Peter tells us that one day the chief shepherd will appear, and he will reward those who serve him. Now, we understand that a pastor, we would say a pastor is an under-shepherd. Pastor means shepherd. That's the idea of the word pastor. A pastor is to feed the flock. which is among them. And one day, the Bible says, the chief shepherd will appear and reward their faithfulness and their labor. 1 Peter 5, verse 4 says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." And yet the Lord is our good shepherd. The Lord is our great shepherd. The Lord is the chief shepherd, and he's watching over his sheep. Now, he is the powerful shepherd. And we say that he's the powerful shepherd because, first of all, understand, he is the self-existing one. He is the self-existing one. Now, when David wrote these words, the Lord, the L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd, David is saying the Lord is the sovereign shepherd. It's in all caps in my Bible. It's the most sacred name for deity that the Jews had, the Lord, Jehovah. It means this, self-existing one. He is the self-existing one, the one who never had a beginning, the one who will never have an end. Now, in John chapter 8 and verse 58, the Lord is speaking to Pharisees. And they said to the Lord, they said, "You're not greater than Abraham." And you know the conversation in John 8, 56, Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Abraham saw in his son Isaac the beginning of God's fulfillment and God's promise of the Messiah, of Jesus. And they responded to Jesus saying, "How did you see Abraham?" Or, "How do you know so much about Abraham? He's, you know, you're not even 50 years old." And Jesus said this. This is important. We think about the deity of Jesus. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now, as Bible students, we know that there is far more than just the fact Jesus was saying that he was around before Abraham. The declaration of "I am" is a declaration of his deity. He is Jehovah. He is the self-existing one. And by the way, the Bible says they picked up stones and they were going to kill him. The Lord, the great, the awesome, the covenant-keeping God, the self-existing one, the great I am, the Lord, David said, is my shepherd. That's incredible. He's my shepherd. But not only is he the self-existing one, he's also the all-powerful one. The Lord is the creator of all things. Let's go to some scripture. Can we go to Genesis chapter 1 in our Bibles together? Genesis, the first chapter. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. Genesis chapter 1 in verse 1. Look what the Bible says here. Genesis 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning, God," the Hebrew word that is used is Elohim. He is the covenant-keeping God, is the idea. "In the beginning, God," the covenant-keeping God, "created the heaven and the earth." Now let's compare scripture with scripture and go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16. And notice what the scriptures say here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 16. Colossians, the first chapter and the 16th verse. Notice what Paul writes here to the church at Colossae. He says, verse 16, "For by him," this is Jesus, contextually, he's talking about the Lord. "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." We often talk about God creating the visible things around us, but he's created an invisible world around us as well. And the Bible says he created the visible and the invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. And when David looked at all that was around him, think about this. Maybe as a young man, maybe he wrote it as a young man lying on the hills of Judea, and he's looking up at the stars and he's thinking, "That God is my shepherd, the self-existent one, the all-powerful one, the one that created this universe, that which is visible and invisible, all things around me. He's the creator of the stars and the mountains and the rivers. And he knows who I am. And he cares about me. The Lord is my shepherd, is what he's saying. Can we go to Psalm chapter 8 together? The book of Psalms and the 8th Psalm. And look what the scriptures say here. Psalm 8 and verse number 1. The Bible says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who have set the glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy of the avenger. By the way, Bible scholars believe that David wrote this after he had stood before Goliath. And the expression, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has he ordained strength, was illustrating the fact that just a youth, just a child, stood before Goliath and defeated him. The Bible says, verse 3, when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. I think about Psalm 19. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. In other words, it crosses over boundaries and countries and languages and cultures that they can look up and say, hey, there has to be something more. And David said that God created the heavens and the earth, and the firmaments declare the very glory of God. And that is my shepherd, the Lord, L-O-R-D, the self-existing one. He is my shepherd. Someone once said this, the Lord, the one who made the world and everything that is in it, the one who lit the taper of the sun and put the stars in their places, that's my shepherd. The one who threw a carpet of green grass upon the earth and tacked it down with flowers, the one who scooped up the valleys and piled up the hills, the one who took the songs of the seraph and robed it with feathers and gave it to the nightingale, the one who took the rainbow and wove it into a scarf and threw it across the shoulders of a dying storm. That's my shepherd, they wrote. At evening time, he pulls down the shade of the night and shoots it through with sunset fire. That's my shepherd. And David said, the Lord, he's the all-powerful God. He's the only God, the true God, and that is my shepherd. Not only is he the powerful shepherd, would you write it down, he's a personal shepherd. He's a personal shepherd. I think it's easy for us to see our world in such a mess today. All around us we see turmoil and trouble and tears. We look at the condition of the world and we think, what in the world is happening? Why is our world like this? I mean, for the first time in my life, it feels like we're on the brink of World War III. And it just seems our world is in such turmoil today. No concern for human life, no desire to know God, no interest in spiritual things. The Bible says in the last days, there'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And even Christians today seem to have their fire put out. So much corruption, so much calamity, so much confusion. But I want us to see the root of all of it. Can I show you tonight the root of why our world is so messed up? Can we go to the book of Isaiah in the 53rd chapter together? Isaiah 53. And notice what the Bible says. Why is there so much trouble? I think of Gideon when he looked at the condition of Israel, and he said to God, why has all of this befallen us? And I think sometimes we can ask that same question. How do we get here? Well, I think the answer is found in Isaiah 53, verse number 1. It says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a rooted of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Who is the Bible talking about? Say it. Jesus. It's prophetic. Speaking of Jesus. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now notice what the Bible says in verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible, I believe, defines for us the trouble we see in our world today. Is because we have all gone our own way. I mean, think for just a moment how unimaginable and evil and vile our own way must be, that Jesus had to suffer on Calvary's cross to be the shepherd of our soul. The Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 31, it says, therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. The Bible says we went our own way. But Jesus came to this earth. He died on a Roman cross because he wants to be the shepherd of our soul today. It begins, of course, with salvation. It's a spiritual relationship. It begins by being born again. Jesus said that he is the good shepherd and that he knows his sheep and they know him. That speaks of a relationship with the shepherd. It's not a distant relationship. No, he wants to be near to us, as we read this morning in the book of Hebrews in the 10th chapter, because of the finished work of Christ. Let us draw near, the Bible says. And so God wants to have a relationship with us, but we have gone our own way. But Jesus came to us, and he died for us. 1 Peter chapter 2 reads this, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. It's our theme for the year, in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Even when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who has borne, his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Verse number 25, here Peter quotes Isaiah, and he writes, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And this is what God wants for every person. I would say to you, if you're not a Christian, I can tell you the will of God. God's will is that you'd be born again, that he would be your shepherd, that you would return to the shepherd of your soul. And this shepherd speaks, of course, God. He speaks of comfort and guidance and protection. Bishop is an overseer, the shepherd and the bishop of our souls, the one who accepts the gospel by faith. The Bible says turns to Jesus for salvation, is born again, and they enjoy the blessing of eternal life, and they are led by the shepherd, the good shepherd in their life. And so it begins with salvation, let's make it clear. But also, it's a powerful transformation. Because when we return to the shepherd, we allow him to direct us and work in us. We call that sanctification. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day, and are not of the night nor of the darkness. We become a child of God, and we are in his family, we are protected in his care, and we are no longer going our own way, but instead the Bible says that he is the shepherd that's leading us and directing us. It's a wonderful blessing to know that the Lord is our shepherd. And I hope tonight you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I hope you can say it with confidence and assurance. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is this incredible declaration that David could say as he considered for a moment the Creator God, the self-existing one. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, a personal shepherd, a personal shepherd. I'm not speaking of being merely created by God. I think terminology can be confused today. And we say we're children of God. We're like, well, yeah, I'm a creation of God. I'm not talking about being merely created by God, which we all were. I'm talking about coming to him in faith. I'm talking about accepting his son Jesus as the atonement of our sin, and entering into a relationship with God through the merits of Christ, not through our own merits. By faith, we're resting in his salvation, not in our works, not in a church or baptism, but in Christ alone. And as my good shepherd, he died for me. As the great shepherd, he lives through me. And as the chief shepherd, he's coming back for me. I want to read that again. As my good shepherd, he died for me. As the great shepherd, he lives through me. And as the chief shepherd, one day he'll come back for me. And I will be, as David ended this wonderful psalm, I will be in the house of the Lord forever. And so he's a powerful shepherd. And he's a personal shepherd. But also, can I say this? He's a purposeful shepherd. You see, within the statement of the very first verse of Psalm 23, it's really something very special. Because within that very first verse of Psalm 23, David explains the entire psalm. I mean, really, at the end of the day, we could say that Psalm 23 is all that we really need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a wonderful truth, and it really describes the entire psalm, that he is a faithful shepherd in our life. And we notice the wonderful care of the loving shepherd. Psalm 23, C.H. Spurgeon called Psalm 23 the pearl of all psalms. He really enjoyed this wonderful psalm. It is one of the most dearest passages of Scripture, I think. I don't remember the last funeral I've ever attended that didn't mention Psalm 23. It is a personal psalm. It's a powerful psalm, and it's a psalm of the journey of life. It's the psalm of an individual who puts their faith and trust in the Lord and salvation, and then they're walking through life, and the shepherd is leading them. That's the entire psalm. Psalm 23 is God's leading and directing in our life each and every day until finally we are at home with him one day. And this is what it's all about. This is what David is trying to help us understand, is the Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord is leading me and directing me through all the good and all of the bad in my life. Even the shadow of death is not suggesting a time where we are near death. But the shadow of death is life in its entireness. We are always under the shadow of death. And the Bible says we will fear no evil because the shepherd walks beside us. And this is this incredible psalm and this incredible truth that David is saying here, this self-existing powerful God is with me along life's journey, along life's way, through good times and through bad times. He leads me to still water. Sheep, they just won't drink from running water. And he causes me to lie down. And all the conditions have to be absolutely right for sheep to lie down. And this is this journey of life where God is leading us. And this contentment that we find that we shall not want. He gives us everything that we need. I remember as a child, people quoting this. And they would say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And I used to think as a child, why wouldn't they want him? I didn't understand. Why would they reject the shepherd? I don't get it in the mind of as a child. I just couldn't grasp. Why would the Bible says the Lord is my shepherd and I don't want him? Obviously, that's not what it meant. But it's sad today when we try to live our life without the shepherd. It's sad today when we try to live our life by ourselves. The Lord is my shepherd. Can I give you some quick thoughts here? Number one, he cares about us. He cares about us. God is the shepherd of our souls, and he cares about us deeply. He cares about us individually. There's not another person on this earth that can love you and care for you as much as Jesus. I think sometimes within the pastoral ministry, and I never take it for granted, it is always a blessing. Sometimes within the pastoral ministry, people can get confused and they can place a pastor in the place of where God needs to be. And the problem with that, and my 20 years plus of ministry, is that pastors fail people because pastors are not perfect. And when we put a pastor in the place of the good shepherd and the great shepherd and the chief shepherd, we become disappointed. We become disillusioned. Why weren't they there? Why couldn't they know? But friend, no one can compare to the good shepherd because he cares about us. And I don't know your struggles tonight. I know some of them. I don't know your fears. I don't know your hurts. But I do know someone that does. God knows. He knows. And I think when David was saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he was saying that he cares about me. He cares about me. William Barclay, a theologian of the past, said this: Jesus coming, his coming to earth and dying for our sins, is the final and unanswerable proof that God cares about you. I love that. Jesus coming is the final and unanswerable proof that God cares. And the Bible says that God demonstrated, he showed us, he commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He left the 99, Jesus illustrated, to find that one sheep. Why? Because he cares about all of us. He cares about us individually. Someone said, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would love to tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do." The hymn writer said, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me." And so the Bible teaches us to cast our care on the shepherd. Why? For he saying, careth for you. He cares. Your cares become his cares because he truly does care. You know, there is no need for two cares, Charles Spurgeon said. He said, there's no need for two to care, for God to care and for the creature too. Then David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's speaking of the care of God in our life. Spurgeon said this: "He that takes care of our times will also take care of our eternity." He cares about us. Secondly, when I think of the Lord as my shepherd, our faithful shepherd, I think this: he also helps us. The shepherd has many responsibilities to the sheep. I mean, he watches them, he protects them, he guides them. Sometimes he even has to make them to do what they're afraid to do because he knows it is best for their life. The Lord, as my shepherd, does all of these things and more. He carries me through the storms of life. He guides us through the times we don't understand. He's always present to help us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4 in our Bibles. Hebrews chapter 4. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And again, I don't know the needs that you're facing today, but I know this, the grace of God is sufficient to help you. I read about a woman who locked her keys in the car in a rough neighborhood. Maybe you heard the story. And she tried coat hangers to break into her own car, but she couldn't get that to work. And finally, she prayed. I mean, she was at wit's end. She said, God, send me someone to help me. And 5 minutes later, a rusty old car pulled up. A tattooed, bearded man wearing biker skull rag walked toward her. She said, Lord, really? Him? But I mean, she was desperate. And the man helped her, and she said to that man, she said, can you break into my car? And that man said, ma'am, I can. And he took that coat hanger, and he opened that car in a few seconds. She said to that man, she said, you're a very nice man, gave him a big hug. And he said to that lady, he says, ma'am, I'm not a nice man. He said, do you know that I just got out of prison today? I served 2 years for auto theft, and I've only gotten out of jail a couple of hours ago. And that woman hugged him again and said, praise the Lord, God sent me a professional. The Lord is my shepherd. He cares about me, and he will help me along life's way. I want to remind you today, that whatever comes in your life, whatever troubles, you're not alone. You know, I love what the Apostle Paul said. He's sitting in a prison cell, Roman jail cell, told the Romans he wanted to preach in Rome as a preacher, but instead he came as a prisoner. And he's in a jail cell, and he's waiting the opportunity to stand before Caesar, where probably he would be executed. And he writes a young man named Timothy, his final letter in 2 Timothy. He says, all have forsaken me. I'm all alone here. Some have suggested that maybe Paul was married, and when he left Judaism and turned to Christianity, that not only other people around him left him and walked away, but even his own family turned away. And Paul says, everyone has forsaken me. And I love what the Bible says next. It says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And I'm here to tell you that he's the faithful shepherd, and he will be from the very beginning to the very end. He will be with us, and he will help us. We're talking about the great, almighty, unchangeable, self-existent God of the universe is with you. And we don't have to be afraid, because he cares about you. And he wants the best for your life. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity.